Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It was the hottest ticket in New York City last night, and I was right in the middle of it. The Hilton Hotel, where the president of Iran, Hassan Rouhani, was billed for an exclusive appearance sponsored by the Asia Society. It was A-list all the way around. Diplomats, expats, foundation presidents, billionaires. Stephen Schwartzman of the Blackstone Group got a private meeting with the Iranian president. Someone said boxing promoter Don King was in the house.
What I hope we hear from Iran's new president is not just softball speeches.
That's not Don King, of course. That's Josh Weston, former chairman of the United Nations Association. The question on everyone's mind, is President Rouhani for real? He didn't shake President Obama's hand at the United Nations earlier this week.
People are looking at the great handshake incident as an embarrassment to Obama, but it's a humiliation for Rouhani. He was ready to shake the hand, and basically somebody jerked his chain. Khamenei jerked his chain.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't take away the fact that it was a slap to Obama by the guys in Tehran.
Well, you're a big fan of Obama's, I know.
That's veteran Middle East journalist Christopher Dickey of the Daily Beast and Raghiba Durhan of Al Hayat. They believe that President Rouhani is on a short leash from Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, and both had low expectations for this event. But it's better than the days of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
I think everybody wants to see Rouhani because basically Ahmadinejad was such a lunatic. It would be nice to see a mullah who seemed sane for a change.
My expectation is that this dance between the U.S. and Iran will take a long time. I think it's too early to speak of the grand bargain. There will be a lot of trading the Iranian way, pocket and ask for more.
People keep saying, oh, he's got the full backing of Khamenei. No.
Really?
He is a challenge to Khamenei, and Khamenei is not going to let him make the big decisions on the biggest issue with which to talk to the United States.
New York Times columnist Tom Friedman, blogging away in the corner, felt there was something going on.
You know, I don't think you go from Ahmadinejad to paradise. You know, it's clear there's a real power struggle in Iran, and Ahmadinejad was not a solo actor. He represented a certain strain. And that certain strain is still there. But what I think Rouhani represents is the will of the Iranian people, broadly speaking, to reintegrate with the world. This guy's not here by accident. He's here because he's reflecting something deep that's coming up in the Iranian public.
I believe I can talk to you today as a colleague, just as colleagues talk to each other.
When President Rouhani finally spoke through an interpreter, he picked right up from what Friedman was saying. I represent a mandate of the people of Iran to change things, he said. Otherwise, he largely reiterated his positions from earlier in the week, insisting that Iran has the right to nuclear technology, that Iran does not want to ever make nuclear weapons, and he hinted that it's only Israel that is fanning a misinformation campaign about Iran's nuclear program. But it was when he spoke about the United States that the message seemed to be, the days of axis of evil are over.
While we may not be able to forget the major source of mistrust and suspicion that haunted the minds of the Iranian people in their thinking about the U.S. government in the past 60 years. We need, however, to focus rather on the current situation and look forward to the future, trying to turn the turbulent past into a beacon lighting for the path ahead.
In the question and answer session that followed the speech, President Rouhani even encouraged the peoples of Iran and the U.S. to increase their contacts in the digital world. Opening up the internet in Iran is part of his mission.
We are interested in seeing nations have closer relations with each other, perhaps to bring Iran and the United States closer. The initial steps may likely have to be taken by the people. They'd have to start it very likely. if an environment is created where the exchanges are done easily, more easily, Iranians can come here more easily, and people from here can go to Iran more easily, then this will be actually create a public diplomacy venue that will also expand the overall diplomatic activities and the extra steps that we need to take.
People's diplomacy via the internet. And then the surprise at the end. Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif arrived in the middle of the questions, fresh from his meeting with Secretary of State John Kerry, the first substantive high-level meeting between the two countries since 1979. He was rushed to the podium to give a briefing in English.
Now we have to match our words with action. And that's, not the challenge. I hope that will be an opportunity for us to build confidence and move forward, turning challenges into possibilities for better understanding and movement forward. Secretary Kerry was very positive in that meeting, repeating the views of President Obama on the need to move forward and very committal to leading the process himself on the American side.
And the mood in the audience at the end of this very deft bit of Iranian theater was upbeat. Iranian expat and member of the Asia Society, Sheila Navasi.
I'm very excited and optimistic about, and I think Mr. Rouhani is an extremely substantive individual, and I'm just very hopeful.
And then, there in the crowd, head above the crowd, straight from central casting, was boxing promoter Don King. His solution to all this, and he says the Iranians are working on it, a boxing match.
What it would be, it would fight for peace. It would be, they were talking about putting it on Kish Island. I don't even know where that is, but that's a part of the Republic of Iran. But wherever they would put it is, the object of the fight is at least you have a chance for a return match. You have a chance then to go out and with your disputes. You see guys pummeling each other in a fight that, and when they get through, they hug each other. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. From Tom Friedman to Hassan Rouhani to Don King, I doubt there will be a rematch of this evening or any immediate hugs. But there is clearly momentum to do something beyond a boxing match between Iran and the United States. This is The Takeaway. Skepticism, optimism, theater excitement. Where's the reality in all of the reasonable-sounding talk this week between the Iranians and the Americans? Joining me once again for a closer look, Genevieve Abdo, fellow at the Stimson Center, a non-resident fellow at the Brookings Institution. So, Genevieve, let's talk specifics. One of the things that Javad Zarif, the foreign minister, said when he briefed the audience in New York last night was that his inclination was that they could get a deal by the end or within a year. And he was surprised at how the other members of the group in the nuclear talks were even more aggressive. Does that surprise you?
No, it's not so surprising because, you know, we have to remember that according to sort of some of the time frames that we're looking at in terms of Iran developing, having, shall we say, nuclear capability, that's a very small window. So obviously, you know, the Europeans, the Americans, and particularly the Israelis are very, very anxious to get some sort of deal, and particularly because they want to be able to monitor Iran's nuclear facilities. They want some transparency about their nuclear facilities because there are a lot of unknowns out there.
The president did not use, or the Iranian president did not use Israel by name, but did repeatedly, and did so last night, say that Israel was the one fomenting this idea, misinformation, he called it, rumors that they're developing a bomb and they have no intention whatsoever of developing a bomb. How are the Israelis likely to react?
Well, the Israelis, as we've seen over the last week, have been very vocal, you know, warning, don't trust Rouhani. He's really in disguise. He's not who he says he is. Iran is the same Iran it was before the June election in which he became president. I mean, these are the warnings that we're hearing from Israel. So the Israelis aren't buying any of this. And I think that the reality is probably somewhere in the middle. I lived in Iran for 3 years when President Khatami was in office. And it's a very sophisticated, complex society. And I think that, you know, we should assume that something has changed. As he says, he represents the will of the people. But then, on the other hand, we have to remember that a huge faction of hardliners is still very much in play in politics in Iran. The Islamic Revolutionary Guards are very much part of this faction. And as you mentioned in your essay, you know, we have to not forget this. And as other people who you spoke with are warning, it's a complicated political system. And just because Rouhani has been elected president doesn't mean that this pressure has suddenly evaporated.
All theater or substance?
Both. I mean, I think that certainly an event like that is theater, and most of his UN visit was somewhat theater, but there is substance. And, you know, there has something fundamentally changed in Iran. As he mentioned, he represents the will of the Iranian people. And for once, someone's actually in Iran paying attention to the will of the people.
Well, the giddiness of Foreign Minister Zarif, who spoke last night, was contrasted with the reaction of U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who spoke with reporters. Listen.
One meeting and a change in tone, which was welcome, doesn't answer those questions yet. And there's a lot of work to be done.
Questions on the specifics of actually verifying a peaceful nuclear program. Hard work ahead, Genevieve?
Absolutely. A lot of hard work ahead. And we will see. I mean, we will see in the coming weeks, in the coming months, if indeed his performance at the UN was all theater, or if the Iranians are actually going to put something concrete on the table that is what, you know, the Western governments have been asking for.
Well, they certainly are talking. Genevieve Abdo, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Genevieve Abdo is a fellow at the Stimson Center and a non-resident fellow at the Brookings Institution.